And so if you've never been here before, my name is Katie Stallman, and my husband is the senior pastor here at Family Church, and we just want to have you come on back and hear him preach. It'll bless you. And if you need a pastor, you need a local church, here we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Come here. This is a good one. Amen. You know, in preparing for this message, the Lord reminded me of something. And now that I have children, a lot of time he talks to me spiritual things in relation to my children. And you know, Jesus did that all throughout the Bible. He took a natural illustration to teach a spiritual truth. And so, you know, I have two little boys, and with any little kids, they have drama. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but they like to scream and kick and cry and whine and all that stuff. And so I have a saying at my house, and it's called dry it up. Because my kids start acting like that, you know, just for no reason, or, you know, Timothy act up after he gets a spank. I tell him, dry it up. No, stop the drama. That's not allowed here.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, there are times when they get up from a nap and they're tired. They've had a long day. And, you know, it's just time for them to come sit in my lap. And I say, honey, come on over here. Let mommy give you a hug. And so I bring them over and I let them sit in my lap and I love on them.
Yes.
You know, and that's what God wants to do tonight. You know, we've had a lot of instruction, correction regarding some things and get stuff going the right way. But tonight, God just wants to love on the people. Just encourage them. And that was such a visual representation for me. You know, I just my kids coming up on into my lap. And I say, honey, come here. Let mommy hold you. And Michael will even come over to me when he wants me to hold you. And he'll go, I'll hold you. I'll hold you. And so there are times to say, dry it up. And then there's time to say, I'll hold you. And so tonight, the Lord just wants to love on you in some things, encourage you towards some things. And I have a lot of different things stirring in my heart, so what you need is what you'll get. Because I'll be honest, I don't know all that's going to happen. But I know it's going to be what you need, if you'll draw on what you need. And so I got a lot of stuff stirring around in here, and whatever you need, you'll get. If you'll purpose for it. And so there's about 20 sermons in here rolling around, and we'll just pick out the ones that people need. But whatever it is, it's the love and compassion of God that wants to minister to people tonight and encourage them in some things. You know, Brother Chris kind of started that out for us last week, didn't he? Because he ministered to people, and he called people forward who, you know, had dealings of just deep wounds and things that had happened to people and abuse and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes when that happens and people get ministered to that way, it's a dramatic thing. But it's also good to follow that up sometimes with the word.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to say what he did wasn't enough. I'm just trying to encourage you toward what he already ministered.
Yeah.
So let's open the word in some things, and I'm going to share a couple things with you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, because let's start out this way and see where we end up, okay? That's what we'll do. And the only announcement I have tonight is for Pastor Brad, that if someone calls for me, could you tell them I'm busy right now, and I will call them back. For anyone who wasn't here before, Tim called me in the middle of a sermon one time, and Pastor Brad handed me the phone twice. Tim was calling in from out of town and had some things to say, and just wanted to clarify before we got started that I'm unavailable for discussion right now with my husband. He's so good. He balances me. You know, I was very uptight when I met Tim, and he's just helped me. I know you all probably think I'm still uptight, but if you had known me when Tim first met me, woo, it was like I didn't even care about talking to him. That's how I ended up working out, because you know, when I met him, all I thought was, I don't care about seeing him again. And I just wanted to work and go to school and work and go to school and work and go to school, and I had things I was going to do, and I just, no fun, all work. And he helped level that out a little bit. And so anyway, Hebrews chapter 11. He's interrupting the service anyways. Going to have to talk to him about that, Pastor. Put my mama voice on. But anyways, Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we'll start out this direction. God is the rewarder. God is the rewarder. And you know what the enemy does? One of his main things is that he gets people's eyes off the reward and onto what's going wrong. What's falling apart in life? What isn't working? But listen, there's rewards for us. It doesn't matter if you've only been saved a week, there's a reward for you. And so God has rewards for us, but we have to recognize that there are rewards for us. And sometimes people tend to think they haven't done enough, but I'll show you tonight that that's not true. And the enemy wants to blind your eyes to the reward. And then even when you do believe there is a reward, he always wants to make it seem like it's so far away. See, you've been believing for years and it hasn't come in. And that's what he reminds people. You've been believing it hasn't come in. You've been believing it hasn't come in. And he gets people's eyes on what hasn't happened. And it could all come to pass that next day. And yet, the devil tries to tell people that so they start saying it. You know, you're right. It has been a long time. And the truth is, God has rewards for us. And the enemy wants to make it seem like they're far away, but they're not. Amen. You just hold fast. He's got some rewards for us. So let's start out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So I just want to start out by reminding you, it's in the word, he's a rewarder.
Yeah, that's right.
And he rewards in many different ways. Children are a reward. There's financial rewards. Blessings at work, having a job. There's so many different ways he rewards, and he rewards according to each person's situation.
Yeah, amen.
And so he's got rewards for us. Now, I want to read this to you in the Living Bible. It says, you can never please God without faith, without depending on him. Without depending on him. And so we depend on God. I'm depending on him right now up here. Are you depending on him? Are you depending on him to hear what you need for your life tonight? See, even this very minute, we're depending on him.
Yeah. Amen.
And I just want to share with you some things about what rewarder means. What does rewarder mean? Here's what it means. One who pays wages or pays for a service. And this is the one I really want to highlight. Dues paid for work. And we'll come back to that. Payment of wages due. And so, see, dues paid for work. You know, we tend to think that the only work we have is our job. You know, some manual labor that we do, something physical. And that's true, there is a work in those things. But do you know there's also a spiritual work? Doesn't the Bible say in Philippians, I believe it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so how do you do that? You don't go out in your backyard and dig a fence. You don't go to work and do some paperwork. You're not doing something like that. You're doing something spiritual. What are you doing? Reading the Bible, praying, meditating on his word, you know, looking toward heaven, contending for the things of God. And so, you know, lately I've just been saying, Lord, I want to see your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory. You know, just pressing for things. Pressing for miracles. Special faith. All those things. And so there's a spiritual work to be done. And sometimes people think, well, all I do is pray. I don't really do much at the church. I just pray for the people. That's a spiritual work. And there's a reward for that.
Yes.
Meditating in the word, doing spiritual things, there's a reward. So let me share some other things with you. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I love this scripture. people think they're forgotten sometimes. Like, Lord, I've been laboring, I've been pressing, I've been doing my best, I've been praying, and you're starting to feel like you're left out there a little. Or like, I've been contending as much as I can. And just in the back of your mind, there's that little bit of doubt of, well, where is the blessing? And don't do that. You just keep pressing. Because he's got rewards for people. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And I want to share these things with you because it'll bless you and because then you'll know you qualify. Because some people feel like they're not qualified for the reward. And so if you have ministered to the saints, here's what ministered means. If you've done any one of these things, I'm going to show you. Ministered means if you've been an attendant, if you've waited upon, if you've waited at a table to offer food or drink to a guest. You know, we have lots of things here like that. The guest minister dinners and the appreciation dinners and the pillars dinners and all those things. If you've waited on people for food and drink, guess what? You've ministered to the saints. You qualify for a reward. If you've prepared food, if you've supplied food or life's necessities, you know, we have people who supply food for us. And that's a very godly thing. And there's a reward coming. You know, when Tim is gone and I need help with some things so that I can do all that God has me to do, there are people here who are anointed to help me. There are people here who help with food or who help with errands or come watch my kids so that I can pray and so that I can, you know, find out what God has for us and the messages and all of those things. And there's rewards for those people. Rewards. See, the devil will try and tell you, all you did was cook a meal. Yeah, but the Bible says here, I ministered to the saints. The enemy always wants to reduce what you're doing for God down to here, down to nothing, telling people all you did was. But really, it's a spiritual thing, ministering to the saints. And there's a reward. There's a reward. And so if we have ministered to the saints in taking care of or distributing things that are necessary to sustain life, if you have taken care of the poor or the sick, if you've attended to anything that may serve another's interest. That about covers it, doesn't it? If you've attended to anything that serves another's interest. You know the person who puts the toilet paper in the bathroom? Yeah, that served your interest. And it's not that big a deal when it's there, but it's a big deal when it isn't there. And so you think all they did was, yes, but when you show up and it isn't there. And so anything that you did to serve one of God's people, rewards, rewards, rewards. And you know, I think people don't get excited about their rewards because they think they're not worthy. They think they're not worthy of the reward that God wants to hand out. And tonight I want you to know you're worthy. Yeah, that's right. God made you worthy.
That's right.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made me that way. I'm the righteousness of God.
Yes.
As righteous as he is, I am.
That's right.
You know why? Because he said it.
That's it.
He said it. I'm not tainted. I'm not thrown aside. I'm not disqualified.
That's right.
I'm the righteousness of God, and I'm in place for a reward.
Yes. That's right.
Because I've served his saints.
Yes.
And so have you. So God's looking to bless his people. Bless his people. Bless his people. But you got to see yourself worthy. You got to see yourself worthy. Everything the enemy does is to try and make you feel unworthy. You're not worthy to be here and pray. You're not worthy to serve. You're not worthy to speak into somebody's life. What do you know? And starts pointing out everything you've ever done wrong in your life. But I'm the righteousness of God. And he can't take it from me. He can't take it. God gave that to me. And now I'm qualified for a reward. You know, I always pray for laborers into the path of my family members. And, you know, that they would be saved and know the Lord and serve him and all those things. And somehow just kind of in the back of my mind, I just kind of gave it up to, it probably won't be me inviting them to know the Lord. I don't know why. Maybe because of familiarity. You know, your family gets used to who you are and that you're just the church person and such. And so sometimes you just, I don't know, in your mind kind of settle into the fact that you're not going to be the one. And there was a time not that long ago within this last year where some things were happening in the lives of some of my family members. And three of them came to my house, and Tim and I ministered to them, and they prayed right there in my living room and asked the Lord into their heart with us that day. And you know, when they left, I said to Tim, I said, I feel so rewarded. I feel so rewarded. I feel so blessed by God. And so there's so many ways in which God can reward you. And don't shut yourself out to him. Just know you're worthy. Because the world tries to tell you you're not. And sometimes people bring that over into the church. They don't mean to. It's just, you know, you get saved and there's so much to learn and so much to grow and all those things. And sometimes time just goes by and it slips away from you and you don't realize all the baggage you brought in from when you weren't saved. And, you know, when I was living in the world, I had a very hard life. A very hard life. And I'm not saying I had it any harder than anybody here, because I didn't. And I don't care about it. I'm as dead to that thing as the rock is to anything out there in the driveway. Don't care. Don't matter. And so it doesn't speak to me anymore. I don't care about it. But that didn't come overnight. And so, you know, when I was going into my senior year in high school, I had some very, what the world would call traumatic things happen. First of all, when I was about 15, turning 16, my parents got a divorce. And, you know, we had a Brady Bunch type family. You know, we were all very close, did things together, all that sort of stuff. And so that kind of put the ball in motion for some other things for me, not good things. But when I was going into the senior year of in my high school, I was raped. And when that happened, my world fell apart. And I ended up going to the hospital, and I had to be hospitalized for a while. And then my mom took me over to this church up on Fairmount Avenue, and she brought me to some counseling. And you know, all the counselors did, they just labeled what was happening to me. That's all they did. It didn't fix anything. All they did was say, oh, well, you blank out when you see them? Well, it's called this. You can't talk when you see them? It's called this. And I did that for a long time. Finally, I said, I'm not going anymore. Even in the world, I knew this is not doing me any good. I'm still as jacked up as I was when it happened, you know? And so, you know, the doctors, they fixed me up like they could, sent me home. You know, the psychiatrist, they fix you up like they can, send you on. But you're messed because you don't have Jesus. And so there are times, a lot of times, when I wanted to die or take my own life. And only because the Catholic Church told me that if I did, I'd end up in hell. I didn't. So at least they helped me out with that. Because I really would have gone to hell then, because I wasn't saved. Wouldn't have been because I took my life. But, you know, if you're not living for Jesus, then those type of things, it can end your life. Because people get into not being worthy and depression and all these things that try and come upon you and snuff out your life. But after I came over into knowing the Lord, into meditating on who I am in Christ, I know I'm worthy. And there's nothing that devil's going to tell me that's going to make me think otherwise. And you know, there are people here who, you know, they were with someone and they had a child together and the guy left and now they feel unworthy. Because they haven't dropped that yet. They haven't been renewed to that yet. And so there are people who have suffered abuse. There are people whose husbands have left, whose wives have left, people who have lied to you, people who have promised things they never came through on. But listen, I want you to know you're worthy of the reward. And not only are you worthy, you cannot let the devil lie to you anymore about that. Because I want to share something with you. Let me go to the scripture. I had this in my heart. It's in Jeremiah. Let's go there. Jeremiah 2. Because you see, we come to church and we fill up on the word. And we go home and we pray in the Holy Ghost and we fill up on the Holy Ghost. And yet sometimes we sense that something still isn't as full as it could be. Something still isn't as good as you think it should be. And you think, Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm reading my Bible. I'm filling up. And so why is it that there's still that sort of, I don't want to say emptiness, but it's not all it could be. Go with me over to Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2, 13. Jeremiah 2, 13. And the latter part of the verse says, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, if you have a pot and you're dumping a bunch of water into it, you know if there's a crack in there, what will happen? That water won't stay. It's not going to stay. What's going to happen? It's going to leak out. It's going to go all over. And so you can go in 10 minutes and refill that thing, and what happens? Spills out all over. And then you go 15 minutes later and you fill it again, and what happens? Spills out all over. How does it happen? Through the cracks. Through the cracks. And so I think, I'm sensing in my heart, what's happened is people have had these deep hurts and they've come into the church and they know in their mind that it's holding them back a little bit, but they haven't really attended to it as much as they could. And I want you to know Jesus made you a new creation. He didn't patch the old. He didn't take that crack and kind of fill it in with something. You know why? Because after a while, that patch wears away and then the crack is there again. But when he makes you new, it stays full.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I sensed one day we were in prayer, and it was Steph and I were with some other people and we were praying together. And actually we were praying for the congregation, which has been on my heart very heavy lately. But we were praying for the congregation, and after the prayer was over, Steph and I were talking, and I said, did you sense what happened in prayer today? Because what happened was we were there to bless the people and to pray the plan for the people, and what happened is all that supply got used up before we left the room. I sensed it in my spirit. All that supply got used up by the people who were there to bring a supply for all of you, and that's okay. That's what they needed. But what happened was we were praying for the people, and the people who were there to pray had needs. And so all that supply got used up on them. And what happens sometimes is we're putting in the word, we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're filling up on that, but we've got these things we haven't tended to yet. And so once we fill up, we go out and we get to somebody and we go to minister to them and we go, I did fill up. I thought I had something to minister to him, but it all leaked out. And, you know, I don't know what kind of commercial it is. Maybe you know, Pastor. I hate this commercial. I've seen it maybe a couple times, and when I see the picture of it, I have to turn it because it does something to me. It's kind of like when I was pregnant and for Michael, and for some reason bugs grossed me out, and I'd see him and I'd think, oh, I'm going to puke. I don't know why, bugs. But that commercial is like that for me. I see it and I go, oh, I got to turn it. But it's these people, and they have all these holes in them, and you can see the light going through. I don't know if it's like, airborne, something, lacking something. So trying to get you to buy their product because you're not whole without it, right? And so that's kind of what happens spiritually sometimes. You know, Jesus has made us whole, but we've let those things come in. And so tonight you can be free of all that. You will be free of all that if you'll do the instruction of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the instruction of the Holy Ghost to me was you repent and then you forgive them. And I thought, dear Lord, repent. What did I do wrong? Excuse me, I was the victim. And you know what it was? Sin of unbelief and unforgiveness. And people do terrible things to other people because, you know why? The enemy presses on them to do it. I understand. That man who did that to me, he was a hurting person. He needs Jesus in his life. He did that because the enemy moved upon him and he obeyed the enemy. We live in this world and Satan is the god of this world. And so what happens a lot of times is people do terrible things to each other because the enemy's pressing them to do it. And listen, the Holy Ghost delivers mail and lets people decide. You know what the enemy does? He works on people. He pushes them into things. He presses them into things. He kicks them into things. And he manipulates people. And so hurtful things happen to people because other hurting people get manipulated to do those things. And Tim always says when someone will say, I don't understand why so-and-so did that to me. And he'll say, hurting people do hurtful things. And that's the truth. And so now, because I'm saved and I'm living for the Lord, I have compassion on them, and I think, they did it because they're hurting. They have an emptiness.
Yeah, sure.
And there are, you know, naturally in your mind you would think, don't you want to get them back? You know, I didn't go to that person and say, I forgive you. I did it in my heart. Yeah. Lord, I forgive them. I know they weren't living for you.
Right.
They're just doing what the enemy told them to do. I mean, when people hurt you, it's not to bless you, you know. God wants to bless you.
That's right.
And so if it's not helpful and it's not encouraging and it's not blessing you, it's not God.
Right.
And even Christians are moved on to do things hurtful to people because the enemy told them to do it.
Right.
And so recognize it for what it is.
That's right.
It's just the enemy trying to hurt your life. But listen, you don't have to stay in the hurt. You don't have to stay in the fact that somebody lied to you.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't keep their promise. Somebody, you know, abused you. Whatever it is. Or maybe you were the one that did the abusing. Maybe you were the one that hurt somebody. And you know what happens? The enemy wants people to have that victim mentality.
Yeah.
They want to tell you, you're a rape victim. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And you can't make me say that, because I'm not taking that.
Amen.
No, I'm not the victim. I'm the victor.
That's it. Yes.
And that means I win against every enemy. That means I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes.
That means I come in first and he comes in last, and I'm not taking it. Alcoholics, you know what they try and tell you? They try and make you stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. I've been an alcoholic for 10 years. I'll always be an alcoholic. No, you're not an alcoholic. When you say that, that makes you a victim. You're not a victim.
No.
You're a victor. And you have authority over all those things.
Yes.
And you're worthy of the reward.
That's right. Amen.
You're worthy.
Yes.
I don't care what's happened in the past. All things.
Yes.
All things have been washed away. All things have become
all
new.
Things.
You know what that means? God sees me as if I never missed it.
That's right.
Never. I never missed it.
That's right.
You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the righteousness of God. As righteous as he is, so am I.
That's right.
You can't tell me any different. And you know what? That blesses people. You know, if I were to go to that man and I were to say to him, if I saw him, you know what? And I would tell him, I forgive you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can you imagine how that would minister the love of the Lord to him? Because I know he said before, man, she don't want to see me coming. She don't want to see me coming. But he doesn't know I do. Because I want to get him saved. And I know he's been carrying around for years, and I want to get him free of that. Because
yeah.
I know he didn't want to do it. It's the enemy moving upon him to do it. You know, some things that your parents did. You know, my parents weren't saved when we were growing up. And so, you know, the divorce is very hurtful for kids. And I was older. I was in high school. And so inevitably in divorce, sometimes parents try and manipulate. And I have loving, wonderful parents. But, you know, they were just going through a hard time. And I had to lay all that down. And I, you know, just say, you know what, Father, I forgive them. They did the best they could with what they knew.
Yes,
and I forgive them. And I treat them as if nothing has ever happened. And as a matter of fact, even my mom has come to me and said, honey, I'm so sorry about this or that. And I go, Mom, it's fine. I forgive you. I forgave you long ago. And listen, you don't have to make it up to me. I don't need you making it up to me. I forgive you.
That's right.
Have you ever wronged someone and they say that to you and the release that is when someone's like, oh, I forgive you. Or you know they've done something against you and you forgive them before they even come and you go, oh, I already forgave you for that.
Yeah.
And you know when you forgive someone, you're not meditating on it. You're not thinking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not
that's
even
right.
considering
sure.
it.
That's right.
And that's how God is toward us. He's not meditating on your wrong. He's not thinking about your wrong.
That's right.
Matter of fact, he can't see it if he wants to.
That's right.
Do you know the Bible says our iniquity, our sin, is as far as the east is from the west. That means it never meets.
That's right.
So God never sees my sin.
That's right.
After he's washed it away and he's forgiven me of it. And so if you've wronged and you've asked for forgiveness, even if you wanted to talk about it with God again, you can't. He doesn't know what you're talking about.
That's right. That's right.
Now talk to him about how worthy you are.
That's right.
Because when you know how worthy you are, you can obtain some things.
Yes.
You can go to the throne of God and receive what you need. And not just for your own life, but to minister to other people. You know, when I go into prayer and I go before the Lord, I go in with a consciousness of righteousness.
Yes.
That I am worthy to be there. I'm worthy to be used by him.
That's right.
And I'm worthy to be rewarded.
Yes. Yes.
And my reward isn't 10 years down the road, although there's things appointed ahead of me.
Sure.
But listen, the reward is now.
Yes.
Have you served in any way God's saints? Well, then you're worthy and you qualify if you're saved and you've served God's saints. And don't you let the devil tell you anymore, you're not.
That's
a lie out of the pit of hell.
Yeah.
You are worthy.
Yes.
You are worthy. Let me share some things with you. How about we go over here to Psalm chapter 23? Psalm chapter 23. I was reading some things. Someone in the church actually here gave me something regarding Smith Wigglesworth. It was a devotional, a daily devotional. And he said, the greatest weakness in the world is unbelief. See, because if you'll believe, you can obtain.
Yes.
If you believe God really did make you worthy, if you believe he really is your rewarder, you'll act different.
Yes.
You won't be the same. And people aren't excited about their reward because they don't think they're worthy.
Yeah.
So let's go over to Psalm chapter 23. And I'm going to read the first few verses here. You know, it's easy for us. We've been saved. We've been here listening to the message about, you know, you can be healed in your body. God will heal your body if there's something wrong in your body. You know, people now really come to that pretty quickly. They have some symptoms in their body, and they're quick to come forward to get prayed for that, or to have someone agree with them, or to just use their faith themselves. They recognize that it's not right when their body isn't working how it should, and they use their faith to it. But I want you to know there's something more than just physical health. There's spiritual health.
Amen.
And you have to attend to your spiritual health as much as you attend to your physical health.
Yes,
because both things will hold the plan of God, you going into the plan of God when you should back. And Brother Hagin told of a story of a man who was a pastor. And this pastor had a missionary friend who he hadn't seen in some years, and he invited the missionary to come into his church. So the pastor at that time, you know, people came into town on a train, and so he went and picked the missionary up on a train, and the missionary got in the car, and he hadn't been in the car 5 minutes, and he looked at the pastor and he said, "You're not up to par spiritually." See, because spiritual health shows up too. You know when someone's not feeling good physically.
Yeah.
You know, they don't look right. They don't act the same. And so you can tell when someone has some symptoms on their body or they're going through something in their body because it shows up.
Yeah.
And physical health shows up too. There'll be times when we come into church and I'll say to Tim after church, I'll go, "Wait a minute. Something's up with so-and-so. I don't know what it is." And then check in my spirit. I'm going to pray for that person because something ain't right.
Right.
You can tell in their countenance. Something isn't exactly right. Whether they're being tried or they let something slip or they got into sin in some way, something.
Yeah, yeah.
But spiritual health is apparent. So this guy, this missionary, he got into the car and he told the pastor, he said, "You're not up to par spiritually." And the pastor, "Yes, I'd like to keep my shirt on, please, while I'm preaching." case you were wondering, yes, I like to stay dressed while I'm preaching. And so he got in the car and he told him you're not up to par spiritually, and the pastor said, no, you're wrong. And the missionary said, no, I know. So the missionary let it go because the pastor wouldn't, you know, fess up to it. And so anyways, they went back to the house, and the missionary is staying with the pastor. Well, that's a little interesting because now he's confronted you with what you're not doing right, and now you got to face him all the time. He's staying in one of your bedrooms. So don't you know God starts dealing with this pastor about, yep, you're not doing all that you should spiritually. And so the pastor, you know, got this conviction in his heart, and he went to the missionary and he said, you're right. I'm not right spiritually. And he said, several years back, there was a man who came into this town, and he started a church in the same town, and I got offended over it. And he said, in my mind, I started taking thoughts about how he was taking people from my church, and he's like, I don't even think it was true, but I just started taking thoughts about it. Right. And so he got offended over this other pastor that came into town who was doing God's work. He wasn't doing anything weird. It was a good church. And he said, but I let myself get offended over it. And that's been years it had been like that, several years. But don't you know that missionary pointing that out to that guy? He repented of the Lord. And he went over to that church and he told that pastor, he said, brother, I'm sorry. I've taken offense over you coming into this town and having this church. And so the pastor said, you know, I'm sorry. I've taken offense against you in some things. And they both repented, got right, and then started believing for another church in that town that would preach the gospel. Yes. And so we got to be right spiritually.
That's right.
You know, we got to tend to our spiritual health.
Yes.
Have we taken offense? How do we see ourselves? Because that all matters. You know, did someone lie to you and you're holding it against them? Listen, I understand when people say things about you that aren't very nice. At times in the church, people have said things about me that aren't very nice, have done things to me that aren't very nice, and I don't care. I say, Lord, I forgive them. I bless them. I thank you, Lord. You bless them. And so you've got to get practiced it and have a little bit thicker skin.
Yeah.
It don't really matter.
No,
because I know that's going to affect my spiritual health.
Sure.
That affects everything else. We got to be right spiritually.
That's right.
And so I'm telling you this not as a rebuke. I'm telling you it as an encouragement. If you started sensing some symptoms in your body, you wouldn't just go, oh, look like sickness trying to come on me. What do you know about that? And go along your way. What would you do? Oh, no. I do not take sickness in my body. I rebuke this in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord.
Right.
And you start doing something about it.
Yeah, right.
But we've got some things we need to clean up
yeah.
spiritually, and somehow we just kind of accept it. Guilt. People feeling guilt for stuff they did, things they said, relationships gone wrong, ways in which they've hurt people. I sense that guilt. And you don't have to take that because God isn't giving it to you. And if God did give it, you don't want it. No, 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 no. All you got to do, I refuse guilt.
Yes.
I refuse it. And you remind the devil who you are. You remind him, I'm not the victim. I am the victor. And listen, I come in first. You come in last.
That's right.
I like what Brother Chris said. He was talking about how something had happened and he and his wife had lost a baby, and what he said is, I went into the other room and I reminded the devil, now I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you pay. See, because people are not your problem.
That's right.
It's the enemy moving on people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people can be used by the enemy. But listen, all you do is, listen, enemy, I will make you pay. You're not making me live with this shame, this guilt,
That's
this
right.
hurt, this void, this whatever anymore. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor.
That's
and
right.
listen, I'm going to make you pay.
That's right. Yes.
How do you make them pay? Closing that up. Closing up that hole. And ministering to the people. Praying for people. You get one person out of hell and into heaven. You made him pay.
Amen.
You prayed one person out of hell and into heaven. You made him pay.
Right.
You go in and take back something that he took from you. You go back and take back. No, Lord, And you, no, Satan, I'm not letting you tell me I'm fat every day. No, I'm not. God doesn't see me that way. I'm his daughter, and he sees me as beautiful.
Yes.
You're not telling me that every day.
That's right.
No, God sees me as whole. He sees me as pure, yes. And he sees me as worthy. You know, especially women, several women in the church have talked to me about how after they had a child that, you know, things change in your body. Excuse me. Things change in your body. And so your body, everything changes. Stuff rearranges and resettles and moves around. And thank God for all those products that suck everything back in. If you never had a kid or you're a guy, it's not that funny. But and so people have come to me and said, you know, what about this on my body? And I feel this about my body. And, you know, things just aren't how they should be. Or, you know, it's not how it was. Yeah. And I just say, you know what? You don't have to take that. That's the enemy feeding people thoughts. Yes, you do as much as you can naturally, you know, to help that out. But once you've done that, you know, you don't let him beat you up.
That's right.
That's what the enemy does. Tries to beat people up. Beat them up with what they're not.
Come on.
What they're not. Why they're not enough. Why they don't measure up. Why they should be more in some area.
Come on.
And listen, God has made you all you need to be.
Yes.
And you just remind him, I am not taking that thought.
That's right.
You're not telling me I'm fat. You're not telling me I'm unworthy. You're not telling me that I'm not righteous. You're not telling me I'm not getting a reward. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm making you pay.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I'm going in right now to pray people out of hell into heaven.
Yes. Yes.
And so you turn it around. It's like spiritual reverse psychology. He's trying to get one over on me, so guess what? I'm going to do it back. You're trying to steal from me? I'm going to steal from him then.
That's right.
And that's what you do. And listen, you have to see yourself how he sees you. You have to. Because I don't know if you have noticed. I sense myself slipping again. And I don't know if you've noticed, but with the two services, you know, and all coming back into one at the 10 o'clock, there's been a shift. Some things have changed a little. Wonderful changes. But it's a coming back together, you know, a training for people, a strengthening for people, an encouragement for people, and kind of things that were where, how can I say it? How can I say it, Lord? How maybe people had little pieces where they were missing it, or they had things not right how they should be. Us all coming back together is fixing that.
Yeah, amen.
The Lord's fixing it.
Yes.
He's strengthening our church body. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes. Yes.
But that's what's happening. He's bringing everybody together, strengthening our church body. And so that's what's happening tonight. Repair, so to speak, spiritually. For some things that people have allowed broken. And so God's so good to help us in those areas because he's helping us now for what's ahead. And, you know, my kids sometimes, they break a toy. I try and train them how to be good with things. But at times, stuff is just made junk now. It's all plastic, for one. And, you know, they don't make those nice heavy metal Tonka things anymore. Tim's parents find them sometimes at, like, antique shows and stuff. You know, the, like, Tonka metal cranes and all that stuff. But now it's all kind of cheap plastic. And so, you know, sometimes it busts down. Like, one of the wheels will kind of turn funny. And that whole toy now doesn't work right because that one little piece is...
Sure.
Kind of busted a little. And that's what happens, you know, here in the body. We got a few things a little cracked in places, and it's all just getting made whole. And it's for a purpose.
Yes.
because we have some things coming up, some good things coming up.
Amen.
So let's go to Psalm 23. Love this psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Listen, we're filling up. But our cup ain't running over because of those little cracks and things. And tonight is repair.
Yes.
Tonight is repair. Kind of some spiritual health repair. And I just want you to know, if for some reason you're thinking, this is all very emotional, just kind of doesn't apply to me, I had a great little ducky life, then use your faith for someone else. Because it does apply to you in some way. Because, you know, the body, we're all fitly joined together, each one bringing their supply. And so don't shut off. Just use your faith for someone else. Okay? Because there are people who need it. And at times you've gone through something and you needed someone else's faith. So let me share some other things with you. Just a couple more scriptures and then we'll close. Psalm 34, 18. Psalm 34, it's not far from there. 34:18. And it said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them who have a broken heart. He's near them. You know, at times, people have hurting situations where they feel their heart is broken. And they need someone to come alongside them and help them through.
Yes.
And that's what the church body is for.
Amen.
When people are going through difficult situations where they're hurting, that we're helping them through it. Do you know why the Lord is nigh you during those times? To tell you you're worthy.
Yes.
You're worth something. That's what worthy means. You're worth something. You have value to
yes.
him. If you think you never counted for anything before, you count tonight.
Yes.
You count as a Christian every day for the Lord. It matters to him how you live. It matters to him. You're worthy.
Yes.
You are worthy of the reward because he made you that way. Nothing I've done is going to take me out of it, and nothing I've done is going to, you know, nothing I've done is going to make me unworthy of that once I'm saved. Now, you might slip up. You know, there might be some things where you've done stuff you shouldn't, and you repent. You're right back in. The enemy is always trying to tell people how long it takes to get right. How long it takes for them to fix things up. And as soon as you repent, it's done in the spirit realm. As soon as you repent, it's done. And so, you know, tonight, I think we'll close now. But let's, before we leave. See, sometimes you give instruction to people, and what happens is you give the instruction, and they go home, and one thing came up, and another thing came up, and another thing came up, and another thing came up, and next thing you know, no one did the instruction. And then a week later, they're in a situation, they're going, now, what did she say we should do when we get home? And it's not because they didn't want to, it's just because life happens.
Sure.
You know? And so, let's get this all cleared up now while we're all here together. Okay? And so what we want to do right now, Reverend Chris, after I'm done giving the instruction, we're going to play a song real low because we just want to have enough noise that people aren't listening in on other people's conversations for privacy. But listen, this is a time for you and God. It's a time for you to go to the Lord and to say, Father, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive that they lied to me. I forgive that they let me down. I forgive that they, you know, whatever, inflicted hurt on my life. And then you say, Father, please forgive me for for having been in this sin of unforgiveness. And you know what? All things new now. No more cracks. It's all fixed up spiritually. And so then going forward, when the enemy tries to tell you, yeah, remember this, you go, oh, no. No, I don't remember it. God doesn't remember it. And by the way, I'm stealing from you.
That's right. That's right. That's
you're going to pay.
That's right. That's right.
That's all you do. It's very simple.
Yes.
And so let's play that song, and we're all going to ask the Lord about forgiveness, and we're going to get back in. And listen, you're worthy of the reward. You are worthy of the reward. God made you worthy. He made you worthy. He made you worthy. Okay, Brother Chris, you want to play that? We just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true. So powerful in all you do, you fill me, you see me, you know my every move, you love for me to sing to you.
Spiritual strengthening. That's what's happening. Spiritual strengthening. Do you know, the Lord reminded me of this. He said, no one leaves a wound open physically. I know someone right now who gashed their leg on a fence, and because of some other things going on in their body, it hasn't been healing right. And there's an open wound there. And the doctors have been tending to it carefully because they know it's not good to leave a physical wound open. And they do that because lots of reasons, I'm sure, Anne, you could tell us, but you know, there's other things that can enter in, infection and that sort of thing. And so then that one open wound can become other things in the physical body. And that's what happens, you know, spiritually. We got to close up those things so that it doesn't affect other stuff. And that's what happened tonight. I didn't need to minister to anybody laying hands on them. The Holy Ghost did it. When you talked to him, it happened. Spiritually, that was all healed up. That's what took place. That's what took place. Spiritually, it just all came together. And now it's all done. Don't you feel clean or something? Like, whew, something just, I don't know. It's good. Got a lot of stuff worked out in not too long a time here. Pastor Nancy, I remember she said one time, if it's the right sermon, 10 minutes will get it preached. But listen, if it ain't of God, you can't preach it right in an hour and a half. And so it's not the length, but the depth of what happened.
Right.
And tonight, some things got fixed spiritually for people. God's so faithful. He's so faithful. He never once left me without my help.
That's right.
There's not one time God has ever failed me.
That's right.
He never didn't come through. He never didn't do something he promised. He has always been there. Your natural parents, your natural dad might do that at times, not be all he should, fall short on you, whatever, not fulfill a promise. God never does that.
Right.
Not ever. Not once. Not for a second. Not for a minute. If he said it, he'll do it. If he promised it, he'll make it good.
Yes.
He always comes through on his promise. And so some things were fixed tonight.
Amen.
I like that, don't you? And when Tim comes in here on Sunday to preach, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because some things that were kind of leaky wounds, so to speak, and just kind of damage, it's all fixed up.
Amen.
It's new.
Yeah.
My kids, Timothy, was desperate for this Larry Mobile. VeggieTales Larry Mobile. Cried about it a couple days. I want the VeggieTales Larry Mobile. And that's when I said, dry it up. Don't be crying to me about no toy. Just ask God. So anyway, so he's crying to me about this Larry Mobile. You got the idea from Belle because he came and played with it and liked it, you know. So it's your kid's fault. No, I'm just kidding. At our house, we blame everything on Reverend Randy. If you want to use that for you, hey, I got no problem with it. So anyways, he wants this Larry Mobile. And I told Tim, I said, I have played this game before and I am ordering two. Because I know what's going to happen. It's going to get here and Michael's going to want it. And so I ordered two of those Larry Mobiles, and it has the little guys that come with it and everything. Well, don't you know, one of it busted down. And, oh, great, I have a new one. And so, listen, some things have been busted down. It's all new. Just, you got it new. That's all. It wasn't all patched together. It was just new. And now when Tim comes in on Sunday, it's all going to be different.
Yeah.
Because some of those things people couldn't receive until that was all worked out.
Sure.
Now it's going to be different when he comes back. So we are going to stay for prayer tonight. If you can stay, that would be good. But we'll dismiss our regular service right now, and we'll go right into the prayer portion of service. Oh, offering, you're right. I left mine. Could you get mine in the office, Pastor? I think I left it in there on Tim's desk. So let's take up our tithes and offerings. God is